I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. We've been talking immigration and free speech today, two things our next guest, Chinese dissident artist Ai Weiwei, has also been talking about as he prepares to move back to a city he once called home, New York.
The reality is about how U.S. as a nation still have power to accept the difference, still have energy or still young enough to take the challenge and have a vision and have the big heart.
But what if that American heart grows smaller, asks Ai Weiwei. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Ai Weiwei's name became well known here in the West after he was targeted by the Chinese government for his activism. Before that, he was working in relative obscurity in Beijing in the mid-90s and for some years in New York City. Ai looks back on those years now as an important season in his life.
If you talk about the winter, then you come to spring, you come to summer. More and more I treasure those times.
His new book captures some of those times. It's called Ai Weiwei, Beijing Photographs, 1993 to 2003. In several photos, he documents the final days of his father, Ai Qing, one of China's finest modern poets, and an artist who, like his son, felt the wrath of Chinese authorities.
After he passed away, you feel you're alone, and you don't belong to anybody, and maybe that's a moment you want to act. So that's really a psychologically preparation for me to become a new boss of myself.
A new boss of yourself?
Yes. It's like Godfather film.
So I'd like you, if you would, tell us a story of the preparations for his memorial after your father died in 1996, because Chinese officials had their own ideas about how that event should really unfold, right?
Yes, this is a communist society. Everything have a clear hierarchy, you know. So he was kicked out from the Communist Party. Even he was the same generation as the state leaders, Chairman Mao, Zhou Enlai, all those people, they were together. But he was heavily criticized as a rightist, you know, somewhat against the party.
So your father was in that inner circle with Mao?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're really core, which supported the revolution, or part of the revolution. But later, of course, he'd been kicked out from the party as anti-revolution and spent about 20 years in exile, not allowed to write her words. His name totally disappeared in the public.
So the memorial, how did that...
The memorial, first they decided his body has to be covered by a communist flag. It's very high honor. And that means you're part of this revolution. But I feel completely uncomfortable. You know, I said, you know, you should not do something to somebody already passed away, which, you know, is made against his will. So I made that argument. I said, we don't need to cover that flag.
Did they resist?
Yeah, they told me, they said, your father doesn't just belong to your family, you know, which is a very good argument. They say everything belongs to the Communist Party or state.
Was it a convincing argument, though?
No, it's not. For me, it's insulting to someone and has suffered so much, then later being covered by that piece of red blanket with this hammer and how do you call that?
Sickle.
Sickle.
Yeah.
On it. For me, it's brutal. It hurts me.
And then there were the flowers.
Flowers, in this kind of ceremony, they all use the same set of paper flowers, you know. If someone used and the next day...
A week later, somebody dies.
Same. Wow. I walk in that room, I feel, no, we don't need to use anything being used before. So they say, what are you going to do? I said, I will buy the fresh flowers. My father is a poet, he's an artist. You know, his life is so much related to the highest aesthetic judgment and moral judgment. So I said, I have to change it. So we sent out our people to bought all the white flowers in Beijing City.
Wow.
And we made a fresh flower bed so he can sleep in the middle, but still covered by this red blanket.
While your father was ill, you did this performance. That's all I can call it. You intentionally smashed a Qing Dynasty porcelain and a Han Dynasty urn, and you were photographed smashing another urn. How did these ideas come to you, especially while your father was dying?
It's not really much ideas. It's really attitude or some kind of stupid, ridiculous action. You see child do that kind of thing all the time.
Was your intention to shake up the Chinese public?
No, it's not possible. You have no platform. The rest of society is in deep sleep. They don't care.
It was interesting, something you said about smashing the vase. You felt it was almost like a child acting out. And I want to ask you about the middle finger, because it's a photographic motif that you've used, pointing your finger at the Hong Kong skyline, pointing your middle finger at the Eiffel Tower, Chairman Mao. I felt like when I saw this, it's like a rebellious teenager who's just gotten a camera for the first time. What is up with the finger?
It's just as you said, as a rebellious teenager, now I realize I don't do that anymore because I may grow older, you know. And as an individual in this society, what else can you do? I mean, it's just give out your opinions.
So you spent a lot of time in the United States. Do you feel you can still count on the U.S. to be kind of the beacon of free expression around the world?
I don't really think that way. You know, on the surface, on the shallow surface, yes, U.S. Defending individual rights or human rights. But deeply, U.S. also causing a lot of problem for other people, for other nations, for broader human rights violations.
I mean, I ask partly because you live in Berlin now, but I understand you're moving to New York with your family, correct?
Yes.
So I know you've described the U.S. as a country of immigrants, which I think a lot of people would agree with, but President Donald Trump seems to reject that idea. How do you feel about this reality as you are about to move to the U.S.?
I think the reality is about how the U.S. as a nation still have power to accept the difference, still have energy or still young enough to take the challenge and have a vision and have the big heart. So if they don't, then they will push people away, they'll blame other people, and it just shows the weakness.
And if that big heart starts to shrink while you're here, are you going to turn your eye and your critiques toward the United States, or at least make your critiques in your art of China more universal and maybe applying to the U.S.?
I always protect the basic rights of freedom of speech and human rights. I don't see that only as a Chinese problem, as a universal problem.
Ai Weiwei, thank you very much for your time. It was an honor and a great pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Check out my selfie with Ai Weiwei. And the really cool thing about it, Ai Weiwei took it. Because, you know, skill. You can see it at theworld.org.